Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Swing and a bouncer over the mound hits softly. Out near second base, it's picked up by Muncy. He throws the first for the out. Now they've got the rundown. The throw to third base is way over the head. Posey had come around third, and Bellinger threw to third, and he sailed it 40 feet over the head of the third baseman. Posey comes in to score, and over to third base goes Yastrzemski.
And that was the scene last night as the Giants beat the Dodgers in the first of three at Oracle Park on a very unlikely Cody Bellinger wild throw from first base to third base that hit the screen. And that was the difference the Giants needed. That was the mistake that swung the game in the Giants' favor. And with us on the line to talk about it, former Oakland A, former Arizona Diamondback, former Rocky, former Oriole. Now you can catch him on the No Filter Network, hanging with Will Clark, the great Eric Burns, joining us on the UMA guest line. Burnsy, what'd you think? Did you see that last night?
Yeah, Larry, I did see that last night. It's funny because I was on with Will this morning. We actually had a special early edition of our Wednesday Deuces Wild show. Usually we do it at 6 o'clock tonight, but Will is in San Francisco right now. He'll be at the game tonight, and actually right now I'm heading down to Rocklin from Lake Tahoe for the San Mateo American Little League semifinal NorCal game tonight against North Natomas, in which we are going to broadcast that live on No Filter Network. I've been doing the past few games. It has been an incredible run. I'm not sure how much you guys have been paying attention to it, if any at all, but this is just a super exciting time for Little League Baseball. But they're a few wins away now from potentially heading to San Bernardino. And then next stop after that is Williamsport. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, obviously. But it's
wow.
Been quite the ride. Yeah, quite the ride for San Mateo American.
Wow, that's fantastic. Are you expecting to see, because these are not pros, are you expecting to see any throws as bad as Cody Bellinger's last night?
Mark, I can just about guarantee you, dude, that we will not throw as bad as Cody Bellinger. It's funny because, look, Deuces, I'm very serious about this. Like, I could see myself making that throw. I could never see Cody Bellinger making that throw. It just, it seems like the dude is so put together. Yeah, yeah. So I think it seems, and I don't know what he said. I didn't read the quotes or anything else, but it was almost like there's two things that could happen. Number one, it just slips, right? And then the other thing is that he was in between, hey, should I get the guy at second? Should I throw the ball there? Or should I throw the ball at third? And then it looked like he made a full commitment to throw to third. Now, Will made a very good point this morning on the Deuces Wild show on No Filter Network. He was saying, he's like, look, he goes, the net saved the Dodgers another run because that thing was going to end up like 30, 40 rows up in the stands had that net not been there. But it just, look, it's the beauty of baseball. It goes to show you that it doesn't matter if you're a little leaguer or a big leaguer, everybody's human, and it's just a matter of being able to execute and being able to play catch. And, you know, Larry, you and I talk about it all the time, and I feel like we'll always bring it back, the analogy to youth baseball, but the teams that win are the teams that play catch. Right? The ones that make the play. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the spectacular play, but make the routine play. You basically become, you know, robots or machines out there. And obviously, I like guys playing with emotion and everything else, but the one robotic part that you want to see out of your players is the ability to make a defensive play, ability to play catch, and just coming down to the basic fundamentals of baseball.
You know, R.C. Davis, former KNBR producer, is now working with the Warriors. I was talking to him the other day, and he said that he saw your kids' team play and said they're stacked, that they're really, really good. Are you guys that good?
Well, you know what, Larry? Like, it depends on what weekend you catch us on, because what we are is a team that, you know, started with a bunch of buddies. Trey Gloss and myself, we played together at UCLA, and then our catcher, Jason Green, at UCLA. He has a kid our kid's age. And then John Lucan was another guy. John Gall, his kid, was originally playing with us. John, of course, the all-time hits leader in the Pac-12. And so we had all our kids. But the one thing about our team, Larry, is that we're young. So we typically will play at the 11U level. And, for example, the tournament in Reno that we did end up winning, we had 5'11s, 5'10s, and a 9. And you know, my kid's a 9. And so we're pushing the kids to play up. Now, last weekend we played at the 10U, which was fun and interesting. But almost all of our kids play for other teams, so we put these one-off teams together, you know, that are generally through just connections and people we know and whatever else, and we go play for a weekend and we enjoy it. So, but we're not always the same team. So, for example, two of the San Mateo American Little League kids, Brody Crudelli and Leo Ryan, are the reason why I've all of a sudden become overly invested in this group, and I've just really had fun with it. But, you know, they lost their first game of District 52 to Alpine, which was my alma mater where I played Little League, and then they had to win 7 in a row. And so both Mike Crudelli and Dave Ryan, who are the dads of the two I just mentioned, they called me up, and they know that sometimes I could be one for a little motivation or inspirational type of speeches. And I said, look, don't worry about it. I got this. And I sent those guys a video talking about our 97 UCLA team. And I think I mentioned this last week or the week before, but we lost our first game to Oklahoma State. And then we had to make a run all the way through the regional in order to get to the College World Series. And the result was that we did it. And that was the same message that I delivered to the San Mateo boys. Like, look, this is possible, and they are that good. But the bottom line is, with all of it, is that you got to focus on the pitch, win the pitch, and that's it. You can't get ahead of yourselves. You know, you can't say, oh, this team, and we got this team, and we got this team. It becomes overwhelming. And I almost then now can relate it back to ultra running, where you're at mile, you know, 70 of a 100-mile race, and you still have 30 miles to go. You can't even think about anything else but putting one foot in front of the other. And that's kind of where San Mateo is right now, because they won District 52. They came back. They pulled off 7 victories in a row. They won the sectionals. And then after winning the sectionals, they then lost their first game to Cambrian Park in San Jose at the NorCals. But then now have rattled off 3 consecutive wins after that, and they're 1 win away from the championship. And tonight they play North Natomas, which is from the Sacramento area.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Bernsie right here on the Sports Leader. Just to let everybody know, a deal is about to go down, sending Joey Gallo from the Rangers to the Yankees. Still waiting to find out what the return is there, but Gallo to the Yankees. Eric, I wonder what's the player perspective on this? What's it like inside clubhouses, deadline week, when all of these rumors are going down and guys at any moment know they could get yanked right off the field?
It sucks. It really does. I know it's one of those things where it's a really exciting time for fans, but as a player, to know that at any point, all of a sudden, your entire life can be turned upside down. And look, it's not a detrimental thing. It's not something that you know, you're going to feel sorry for yourself about, but it's emotional. And it's one of those things where, you know, the All-Star break in 2005, I get traded to the Rockies and finally started to get settled in. 2 weeks later, or right before the trade deadline, I'm sitting at a Mexican restaurant in downtown Denver about to sign a lease, a 1-year lease on a place, this cool little loft. And I'm just looking at, but I'm staring at my phone, thinking to myself, like, I knew this could happen again because Dan O'Dowd had given me the heads up. He's like, look, we don't plan on moving you, but if somebody who's in contention wants you, I'm going to listen. I said, okay. And he said, but we make it past this trade deadline. Don't worry about anything. You're going to be a Rocky for a long time. And sure enough, I'm happy with my nachos. And this thing, my phone's blowing up. And you know what I? You know what I did?
What?
Voicemail. And then it rang again. Voicemail. It rang one more time. Voicemail. I would not answer.
You knew.
I just said, if it happened, it happened. And I'm going to wear it. But right now, I'm going to finish my margarita, and I'm going to finish my nachos, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm just going to enjoy life for the next 7.5 minutes.
Wow. What a wild existence. Yeah. By the way, you and Dan O'Dowd later worked together at MLB Network. Did you guys ever rekindle your two perspectives on the one transaction?
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Yeah, I was going to say. Why the hell did you do that?
I brought it up, and so I got traded for Larry Bigby, and
who's a hitter, tall hitter, right?
Yeah, he was a big left-hand hitter. But the reasoning was because Boston wanted a left-handed bat. So then Dan O'Dowd, it was part of a three-way deal, was going to ship Larry Bigby to Boston, and Boston was going to send Kelly Schopick to Colorado. And then I guess at the last minute, and this is really interesting because what happened was somebody within the front office, and I don't know if it was ownership or for whoever it was, somebody pulled the deal back. And I'd have to dig deeper to hear the real deep down intricacies of what happened. But the rumor is that actually caused Theo to begin to be like, I'm out.
Wow.
And exactly. So, and I want to make sure I have my personnel right. I didn't go back and look at the timing, but there was dissension there. And I don't know if the dissension was between John Henry and Theo or who else was there at the time. But there were, Boston always seems to have two or three guys on top, whether it's the ownership, the general manager, whatever. But they pulled out of that deal, and then when they pulled out of that deal, it was, obviously if you make a deal, if I'm a general manager and I make a deal with you, Mark, and then, I had a deal with Larry over here, and then all of a sudden, I pull out of the deal or say, Mark, you pull out of the deal. It doesn't look good. Right. It's just kind of, I just call it bad business. And again, I don't know all of the details, but I've heard the story several times. I've tried to dig a little deeper with Dan, and it's funny because he kind of talks around it a little bit, almost like to this day, he doesn't want to talk about it because he felt like he got burned by that entire deal because he said, look, I didn't want to give you up. But if I could give you up, and Kelly Schopick at the time was thought to be, this guy's going to catch for 20 years in the big leagues. So, he's like, if I had a chance to get that, I was going to go get it. And, it's a weird time, that said. But Joey Gallo going to the Yankees, man, I mean, what a huge power bat, power left-handed hitting bat, and the easiest right field porch in all of sports.
No doubt, no doubt. And by the way, I haven't even, Larry, do you know this off the top of your head? Is Gallo a free agent at the end of the year?
I believe he is. I believe he's a free agent.
I wonder, Eric, what your sort of perspective is on this, too, because in recent years, it looks like general managers have sort of stated, we're not giving up much for this guy that's going to come in here for 2 months. The rental market has gone way down. So we're still waiting to see what the Yankees gave up. But if the Giants are to get in on a Scherzer or a Chris Bryant, should they be willing or not willing to discuss prospects who are on their top five?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a prospect, you guys know what that means, right?
means you're not a player yet.
It means you're a minor leaguer.
Pan out. We're talking top prospects because 10% of less than 10% of minor leaguers ever get to the big leagues. But assuming they do get to the big leagues, how many of them have a career that let's just say would be 6 years or more? Because that's what the Giants would be missing, right? 6 years of a very cost effective player.
Right.
If you give that guy up, so. I'd be willing to make that move. And it just depends. Like, look, the Giants, I don't think expected. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think they expected to be in this position. I think that they probably thought they would be in contention because they showed that they could do that last year. But to be able to come back and to be on top of the West, I mean, now it's if you got to address some, if you got some needs, go get something. I mean, if you have an opportunity to get a Chris Bryant, to get a Max Scherzer, I mean, a guy who's been there and done that, battle tested. I mean, that's what I mean, once again, I'll bring it back to Little League baseball. That's what I like to say about, the teams that, we have for let them play that go through it. As we go through a tournament, when you play those tight games and you have those nail biters, and even if you take a loss, sometimes that can be the biggest blessing in disguise. And the same thing's true with players. Like, when you're coming down the stretch, you want guys that are battle-tested. And I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, there's a few leftovers from that core group of Giants, but not everybody there is battle-tested. So if you add Max Scherzer to the group, I mean, dude, I was playing with this guy in Arizona way back when, and it's funny because he was just all stuff, right? I mean, he threw 97. He had a nasty split finger. He liked to run the bars in Scottsdale with me. I mean, just, hey, this great teammate, great dude, but he's turned into an absolute savage. And even more than that, he's a, I don't even know what you want to call it. Like, he's a master of his craft, the ultimate master of his craft. And he was even asking me, I forget what it was, Pedro Martinez. He was asking me, because I was on the air with Pedro that night, and he was asking me, like, about something about Pedro and the way he held the ball and this and that. And so we're sitting here at dinner. This was only a couple years ago in New York City. It was at Bodega Negra, as a matter of fact, on a Monday night. And if you're ever in New York City on a Monday night, I highly recommend Bodega Negra. It turns into just this crazy, crazy party. But, you know, this is the type of guy that you want. And so then what would that do for all the pitchers? So, I mean, geez. You know, now you're looking at, like, the DeSclafanis of the world and Gossman. They don't have to be the guy. Max Scherzer's the guy, right? So that lightens the load on them. I think that would put him over the top. If they have a chance, you got to go get him. I don't care who you're giving up.
Man, I'd love to see them throw in Schwarber. I mean, could you imagine if the Giants had Schwarber and Scherzer? I mean, that would just be incredible. You know, I don't know if you saw the Billy made a deal today, him and Forrest. They sent Jesus Luzardo to the Marlins for Starling Marte. Now, Marte's having a great year, but Burnsy, I mean, Luzardo, I think they may have kind of blown this. I mean, I have a higher opinion of Luzardo than they do, but I don't like that trade from the A's perspective. What do you think of it?
I just think that, you know, Lizardo's one of those guys that hasn't quite come to fruition yet for what we think he can do. He's always been a great stuff guy, and the A's have an opportunity to get a legit hot bat, you know, right here, right now. And, you know, they're obviously in the thick of it. They're never afraid to make a deal. I think part of this is, like, you can't be afraid to look stupid. You can't be afraid to let a guy go like Max Muncy and release him. And then, you know, here he is, you know, X amount of years later, freaking superstar. So, look, it's you're going to have some good ones. You're going to have some bad ones. But I think the A's have proven that the bottom line, they're not afraid. They're not afraid to pull a trigger. That's for sure.
No, they'll do it. Hey, what do you got on No Filter tonight?
Just the San Mateo Little League game against North Natoma. Again, a semifinal game, NorCal, 6:30 p.m. from Rocklin, California. I will be doing the play-by-play and the color commentary. I leave up to, well, my 9-year-old kid who is usually standing by me, and he's all hyped up last night. But, of course, we have some parents who I get a little over emotional, and I like to capture them and get their thoughts and opinion in between plays whenever I get a chance. And just we've had a lot of fun with this. Last night was a walk off in extra innings. It was just an incredible battle against a team from Dorica called the McKinleyville. So I know, you know, you guys might sit there, roll your eyes or whatever, but I swear to you that last night was my favorite game that I've ever broadcast in my life.
And
I've done college games. I've obviously done a ton of big league games, and last night took the cake. So hoping to be able to repeat that tonight. And there's nothing more pure. And I think probably because, you know, I have kids that age, and I'm immersed in the travel scene, you know, as well. And then I'm invested in the sense that two of the kids, you know, playing for our Let Them Play team that are on the San Mateo American team. So it's just all in all, just it's authentic, it's real, it's true, and there's nothing better than Little League Baseball. There really, really isn't.
You know, my kid's playing in San Diego, a little tournament, a little high school summer league tournament. So I love summer ball. It's a lot of fun. Bernsie, give me, on the way out the door, I've coached Little League, but you'd know better than me. Your kid is hitting. He steps into the box, and it's just a bigger kid with a more explosive arm who's just throwing hard. What is your advice? You tell him to choke up? You tell him short to the ball? What's your advice from the dugout or in the on-deck circle when your kid looks like he's going to get blown away by another kid's heater?
All right, there's a term that I use all the time, and I say A to B. And so the A position, this is what Will Clark and I talk about when he does his hitting clinics, and we'll have another one next Tuesday, No Problem Network. But basically, the A position is your launch position. And so it's taking the knob of the bat and it's pointing it to the catcher. Simple as that. Ready? Boom, boom. So imagine like you're holding a baseball bat, A position. Now we're tilting the bat. We're getting in a launch position. Get to A nice and early. Get to A nice and early. There's another phrase I use, I've used it the past couple weeks, kind of a new one. Slow feet, quick hands, far ball. Slow feet, quick hands, far ball. Slow it down out of the hand, see it out of the hand. There's really simple things. I told the story, I think it was last night to the boys, but I was facing Mike McDougal. And Mike McDougal was for 101 miles per hour. I had a 19-game hitting streak on the line. I was 0-for-4. I felt absolutely terrible. There were dudes on the mound throwing 86 miles per hour, getting me out. I was laying on them. I was jamming myself.
That's it?
Slow it down.
We lost you there for a second.
So I'm facing Mike McDougal. He's in Kansas City, 19-game hitting streak. And I was 0-for-4. I was getting carved up by dudes that literally were no bueno, not good at all, jamming myself. And now I have to face 101 with a game on the line, runner at first base, down by one, two outs, top of the ninth. And I'm just like, slow it down, slow it down, slow it down. And I did everything I could to try to slow it down. He threw the first pitch. It was a sinker that started over the middle, broke down and in. And I looked at it, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, I could do this. He threw me a changeup, though. I looked up on the board. It said 99 miles per hour.
Oh.
99. And right then, Larry, I knew I was locked. The next to the other half went A to B, right? Launch position A, B, simply barrel in the bat to the baseball. A, B. Dropped it, flushed it. Ball's going down the left field line. I'm screaming at, get up, get up, get the F up. The ball hits the top of the fence, ricochets like 30 feet into the stands. And that was a game-winning two-run homer, 20-game hitting streak, all of it. But the only way is
A to B,
again,
slow
going back
it down.
A to B, slow it down. And the last thing, see it out of the hand. See it out of the hand. Because when you're in A position, the work's done. Your load's done. So once your load is done, all of your energy then goes to your eyes. Now we're able to see the ball. Right? Like it's that is the numero uno thing of hitting, seeing the baseball. You cannot see, you cannot hit what you cannot see. So, yeah,
awesome,
that's
man. Great advice.
A little, it's fun. It's cool because this is all stuff that I learned from other people. Now it's just a chance to, you know, rehash it pass it on the next generation for sure.
All right, man. Hey, we got to jump, but good to talk to you. Have a great rest of your week. Good luck tonight with the show, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Mark and Larry, thanks, dude.
Thanks, Harry.
See you, Bernsie.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the total trust guarantee.